So I thought what might be just kind of festive for tonight, since it's our first Thursday night sangha of the new year. And I thought it might be festive to sing together on the topic of determination. And the song that occurred to me that some of you might know, and even if you don't know it, it's easy to pick up the tune, is this old Jimmy Cliff song, You Can Get It If You Really Want, which is kind of along the themes of determination. So we'll sing this, and then I'll give a talk, and there'll be some time for reflection and question and answer and all that kind of stuff too. Okay. Please, if you like, please sing along from behind your muted microphone. I wish if we were live, we could all sing together, but on Zoom, you're just singing with me. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want, but you must try, try and try, try. You'll succeed at last. Persecution you must bear. Win and lose, you got to get your share. Got your mind set on a dream. You can get it though. Succeed at last. Rome was not built in a day. Opposition will come your way. But the harder the battle you see, it's the sweeter the victory now. You can get it. Jimmy Cliff. Oh, okay. Determination. So the Buddha taught what he called a list of 10 perfections of the heart, 10 natural human energies that, when we practice them and deepen in them, really increase our strength and our well-being, our peace, our inner peace. And those 10 perfections, or they're in Pali, they're called paramis. Those 10 paramis in order are generosity, integrity, simplicity, wisdom, patience, energy, truthfulness, determination, number eight, which is where we're going tonight, loving kindness, and equanimity. And they are a beautiful, beautiful sort of system of practice that as we more and more inhabit these different energies, we more and more experience transformation from the inside out that can be really profound. So determination is the eighth parami, and it's really important because if we don't have determination, the willingness to persevere, then any of these practices, whether it's mindfulness or loving kindness, or compassion, or any of the paramis, or even just coming to a sangha like this regularly. It's all sort of beyond our grasp, because life, even 2,600 years ago, and certainly now, life has so much pressing upon us all the time. We need this quality of determination, and thankfully, it's a natural human energy that we can intentionally cultivate. So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. So determination needs, as a sort of a prerequisite before we can really activate our determination, it needs something that it's carrying, an intention that it's carrying, a goal, whether that goal is a short-term goal, like I'm going to do yoga twice a week, or a long-term goal, like even a goal that we can't actually ever meet, like a value, like may I embody peace. Whether it's small or medium or large, whether short term or an endless journey, determination needs an intention to drive it. And I'll speak more about that. And just in this moment, and I'll be asking this question repeatedly, or variations of this question, as I'm talking, you can be reflecting. Which you may have already done because of our traditions around the new year, but reflecting on what really matters, where do you wish to, what intentions do you wish to inhabit with determination? So once we have an intention, then determination is the capacity to really follow through with it, to hang in there. The Pali word for determination is adhitana, which is, there's three ways that it's typically translated into English most often, and they're all wonderful. One is the word determination, which I'm primarily using tonight. The second is the word resolve. And one of my teachers, Gil Fronsdal, says that he really likes the translation resolve, because in a different context, the word resolve means, to come to conclusion, to get there. There's the resolve or the determination sort of way it's defined, but then there's also the this has been resolved sense of the word resolve. So resolve is also nice. And then the third way, besides determination and resolve, that the word adhitana is most often translated is also cool. It's a sustaining power. So we want to invoke sustaining power for these beautiful intentions that we may have around, your New Year's resolutions, first of all. But also the deeper the human longing for happiness and the clarity, so that we can, not only know what kinds of actions and intentions create happiness, but also the clarity to take the steps towards whatever brings happiness. And in the Buddhist context, that would be compassion and clarity and all its auxiliary efforts. So the Pali word again, adhitana, the etymology of that word, adhitana, means higher or special, and tana means to take a stand. So the most literal translation of the word adhitana means taking a higher stand. Like, this is special, this is important, and I'm gonna stand with what matters and stick with it. Adhidhamma, taking a higher stand, taking a, special stand, moving forward with a sense of greater purpose. In the English understanding of English and psychological understanding of determination, it's seen as a positive emotional feeling. So it's got an emotional component, an embodied sort of a sense of, yes, I want to do this. I want, this matters. This is part of my value system. I care. I'm going to come back to this. So it has a positive quality, and it involves persevering towards a goal in spite of obstacles. So it's a motivating force. And as I was mentioning, we can employ it with both short-term and long-term goals. And the short-term goals can serve the larger term goals. So I was thinking about this today as I was anticipating offering this talk. And I spent much of the day composing the talk, and I was thinking, you know, yes, there were other errands and things I had to do that I was putting aside, but the short-term goal of making an offering that I feel in alignment with and I feel good about relative to my deep love of the Dharma kept me with it, even though it was effortful. And then the smaller goal of creating this talk is in alignment with an unending sort of journey that I'm on, and I know that you are on similar paths because you're here, which is this journey towards peace and awakening. The much longer or bigger, the North Star. You don't ever actually get up to the North Star, but you're always walking in that direction. So determination for smaller goals can be in alignment with our determination for these sort of endless lifelong goals. So I want to invite you now to just again reflect, well, what resolves or determined motivations, intentions do you currently have? And what further resolves might support your well-being? And these questions are for ongoing reflection, for certainly in my life all the time. I'm looking to see what really supports deepening in freedom, inner freedom, and the capacity and courage to bring freedom into the world of social justice and positive transformation. So sometimes it's helpful to understand a thing by looking at what it isn't. So I'm going to speak about that a little bit, a couple things that determination isn't. So, and it's not only what determination isn't, but it's also some common obstacles. There are many, many obstacles to determination, but these are two that are really associated with this, with wanting determination in our lives. So the first thing is, many things in this life bring a bit of short-term respite, but they don't serve us in the long term. The Buddha called them sensual pleasures because they please the senses, touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. And they're beautiful and they have their place. And sometimes we can spend a whole lifetime distracted by pursuing short-term gratification and not really get to what matters to our hearts. And some of these short-term strategies for managing life are not even beautiful. They're not necessarily beautiful when they're overused. They can be really destructive. Some of the milder ones are video games and social media, recreational drugs, tempting foods, all those kind of things, you know, and in moderation, they're fine. But when they become habituated or addictive, they undermine our deepest intentions and the determination that will help us move towards those. There's a verse in the Dhammapada, some of the earliest teachings of the Buddha, which says, if you see a greater happiness that comes from forsaking a lesser happiness, be willing to forsake the lesser happiness for the sake of the greater one. Be willing to forsake the lesser happiness for the sake of the greater one. Am I willing to forsake this short-term relief for the longer-term intention that I feel some determination around? The Buddha presents strong images for the drawbacks of what's referred to as sensual pleasure, or these short-term strategies, things that momentarily satisfy but then pass. He calls them very varyingly a drop of honey on a knife blade, a burning torch you're holding in front of you upwind as you're running, a little piece of flesh that a small bird has in its claws while other bigger birds are coming to steal it, and they're willing to kill the smaller bird if they don't get it. So it's pretty intense how the Buddha describes these. But there can be real danger in them. We can come to the end of our life having pursued the drop of honey on the knife blade and say, what the heck? What the heck? What happened? So, on the other extreme, with determination, as opposed to like losing the thread entirely by pursuing short-term pleasure, there's when determination becomes too intense and it becomes forced. And there can be often a critic energy either forcing us or forcing the people around us. Almost a cruel striving kind of an energy. And I know when I began meditation practice in the early 90s, I employed quite a lot of that as I sat and I was having miserable retreats and daily sits, not surprisingly. So that's not determination either. This morning I was walking my dog, and in our neighborhood we have a middle school, and I happened to be walking my dog right when a poor besotten middle school PE teacher was trying to get all his sixth graders to run around the block. And he was shouting like a military sergeant at these kids, and the kids were droopy and tiny and, you know, not responding, and he looked miserable, and I was concerned that he was going to lose his voice. And that's how excess striving can look and feel. This story appears in the Buddhist teachings. A deva or angel asked the Buddha, how did you cross the flood? The Buddha replied, "By not halting and not striving." The Diva asked, "How did you cross the flood by not halting and not striving?" And the Buddha replied, "When I halt, I sink. When I strive, I get carried off." So if crossing the flood is crossing this world of samsara, of, you know, difficulty and challenge and suffering that we all encounter here in this realm, to a place of greater peace and freedom, the Buddha's recommendation is basically easy does it, but do it. Is basically not halting and not striving. Not halting would be letting go of the deepest intentions altogether, and then we sink. However, the forced effort of the striving can take us off course. It's lacking in compassion, and just by the lack of compassion, it's already off course, because compassion is inherent in this journey. If compassion isn't present, then something critical is missing. So determination doesn't mean, well, it clearly doesn't mean, you know, just getting lost in our addictions, but it also doesn't mean this intense striving. And the word striving is often a translation that we'll hear when you hear about the Buddha speaking. And certainly determination, perseverance, and wise effort are essential. But they're supported by clarity and care, by realistic assessment of where we're at, discernment, and patience, a lot of patience, sort of endless patience, actually. Another story with this that you may have heard that I think is important to share, because the Buddha said this in different ways multiple times about the kind of determination that we need as we're on a journey like this, where we're wanting more peace and freedom and clarity and insight and wisdom, is the story of the lute string. So this is the Buddha speaking. "Now, what do you think, Sona? Before, when you were a house dweller, were you skilled at playing the veena?" "Yes, Lord." "And what do you think? When the strings of your veena were too taut, was your veena in tune and playable?" "No, Lord." "And what do you think? When the strings of your veena were too loose, was your veena in tune and playable?" "No, Lord." "And what do you think? When the strings of your veena were neither too taut nor too loose, but tuned to be right on pitch, was your veena in tune and playable?" "Yes, Lord." "In the same way, Sona, over-aroused persistence leads to restlessness. Overly slack persistence leads to laziness. Thus you can determine the right pitch for your persistence and there pick up your theme." So we use our mindfulness, our awareness of our systems, and our honesty, our truthfulness. What's needed on this path right now? Sometimes it's effort and just hanging in there and doing the next right thing. Other times it's really like, wow, I need to step outside. I need to take a hot shower. You know, I need to go read for a while. That's appropriate. So the middle way. All right, so I want to just mention a few things that support determination, now that we've talked about what it is and what it isn't. So a few things that support it, again, as you reflect on where you're wanting to apply determination in your life. And that's the first one, is to determine your why. Number one, find out your why. So really clarifying what's important to you. For example, I would like a daily mindfulness practice. And why? because it supports a long-term goal of more inner peace. Something else that can help as you consider, you know, what it is, or really underscore what you already are clear about, is to recall impermanence and that we just don't have unending time. So what really matters to you? I took a year-long course that's still offered by several different teachers, a year-long course based on Stephen Levine's book, A Year to Live. And I took that class in 2005. And when I took it, I thought, oh, I really want to make an album about the paramis, about the perfections of the heart. And so then I actually cut back my work and earned less money, which was scary, but spent that year making that album. And then that ended up being the first of five albums that I made of Buddhist inspired music that have been really meaningful to me and something I feel like I have to offer. I don't regret that a bit. And that was completely motivated by really inhabiting what if I only had a year to live? What would I want to do? So that's something you can think about too if you want. What really matters through the portal of looking through the portal of impermanence? And you can look, you know, in 5 or 10 or 20 years, what would you like to have accomplished or be or have it have as an internal experience? So finding out your why. A second thing that supports determination is actually the intention to be determined. Which is interesting because typically for determination to work, you need an intention for it to sit in. However, you can also have an intention, you know what, I'm going to cultivate the energy of determination, of resolve. And that helps because intention is really powerful. So the first is find your why. The second is intention or deciding to be determined. I'm going to do that. And then number three is not to forget. I find that once any of us has made a decision to practice, then the hardest part is just getting there to the practice. Once we're there, here you're here tonight at Sangha, you sit down to meditate and you're there meditating, the hardest part's over. The hardest part is remembering to do it and getting yourself there. So don't forget what is your intention. What is it that you're determined about? Or if you do forget, you know, come back to it when you remember when. And I have employed all different kinds of tactics, and I recommend that you think about these different things too. Sticky notes on, you know, car dashboards or bathroom mirrors or side tables next to the bed. Poetry that reminds me of what I care about. Again, up on the wall, typically for me next to the bed where I see it when I wake up. Sangha and community. Other people who are on a similar journey, but remembering and returning. So don't forget. So the fourth one is continue your efforts to work with stress. I know we all do the best we can with it, and it's through the roof these days for everybody. So self-compassion, there's lots, we don't have time to go into it too much tonight, but there's lots of practices that can help us manage our stress and come back into the present and re-regulate. So self-compassion practices, gratitude practice, behavioral compassion, meaning taking care of yourself and others in a way that is nourishing. Intentional breathing, a quick one that I use all the time and I'll just share now is, and this re-regulates the vagus nerve from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic, is to take a deep breath in and then slowly release an even longer breath out. And do those a few times a day. Let your nervous system know you're there with it. And you're just taking a minute, a moment to slow down and intentionally breathe. So continue working with stress because studies show that when we're stressed, negative emotions are more profound. And when negative emotions are more profound, determination is harder to rally. The next one is number five is don't let negative thinking stop you. We can, when the limbic system senses we're moving into something new, it'll very often throw up some negative thinking, some doubt, some self-doubt, some doubt in the program or the teacher. In Buddhism, doubt is a serious hindrance, a serious obstacle to practice, as is aversion, judgment, and self-judgment. These are the routine, endless, ubiquitous, universal obstacles the human mind deals with. Doubt and aversion, doubt and negative self-judgment, negative judgment of others. When your mind starts throwing that stuff up, just know the limbic brain, that little amygdala in there, is a little scared because you're trying something new, or you're growing and expanding, and it doesn't like that. It likes the familiar and the ordinary and the normal. And just don't, we can't stop our thoughts, but our thoughts don't have to stop us. Our thoughts are not who we are. So don't let negative thinking stop you. The next one would be taking care of your physical well-being to the best of your ability. One of the things the Buddha taught was not to use intoxicants that cloud the mind, because that slows us down in our pursuit of freedom. And the opposite of that is to take in what's healthy and good, whatever that means to you. Do that. It supports determination. When it's possible, you're clear about what it is you want to be doing to support your well-being. When it's possible, persevere when it isn't fun. If you can do that, if you can persevere when practice gets dry or you're really busy and you don't have time, it will become habituated and automated after a while. For example, brushing, for most of us, brushing our teeth isn't like the joy of the day. It's not like the highlight that we mark down on our gratitude journals, right? But it's like a thing we do, because of a lot of times of just persevering when it's not fun because it's important to get your teeth clean. And that's the same with anything. We set an intention and then the determination means persevering even when it goes dry or it's difficult. And it doesn't mean not bringing in support or bringing in different ways to make it meaningful again. But sometimes anything that we're in it for the long haul for has dry spells and just hanging in there. And then finally, and this is related to what I just said, keep practicing. And if you were here for the meditation in the beginning, I was saying to return the teaching around mindfulness practices, that our attention gets naturally pulled away because thoughts are so compelling and so magnetizing. That's normal. But the practice invites us over and over to return to the present moment. And that's the same thing with it's sort of what determination is returning over and over and over again to these practices that open the heart, to these communities that support these practices, like this one here and now, and to being awake in the present moment. It's just nobody is on a journey where we don't regularly get sidetracked and distracted and reactive and lost. That's part of the deal. That's not a problem. It's just a problem if we don't come back. We have to keep returning and returning. So that instruction is in Rumi's poem where he says, "Come, come, whoever you are, worshiper, wanderer, lover of leaving. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Even if you've broken your vow 1,000 times, come yet again, come." All right. So I want to pause here and invite if you have any reflections or questions or observations, anything that you might want to bring in. This is an opportunity. John.
Is it okay to enjoy brushing your teeth?
Yes. Is
Yeah,
it on your gratitude list? All right.
love that Rumi quote, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Okay, well, keep percolating. If there's anything else you want to ask or say, there'll be more opportunity. I'm going to share it with, because we have some time here and I don't see any hands right at the moment. I'm going to share with you another Rumi poem and another song that both speak in the, that both speak in the, about determination. I just saw a chat. And if you have questions about the talk, it's totally fine. Just email me, okay? Because if you, I closed up the talk. I read it, then I closed it up. So email me and I can answer questions that way. I mean, I can answer questions, but not specific questions about like the whole list that I just read or whatever. Okay. Okay, so another poem. This one is called, is another Rumi poem, is called The Silkworm. And this one, I love that other one too. And there, and like you, there's like many, many poems, like I suspect you. Many, many poems I love, but this one is one of my favorite poems ever. I have a lot, but this is one of them, The Silkworm. I stood before a silkworm one day, and that night my heart said to me, "I can do things like that. I can spin skies. I can be woven into love that can bring warmth to people. I can be soft against a crying face. I can be wings that lift. And I can travel on my 1,000 feet throughout the earth, my sacks filled with the sacred." And I replied to my heart, "Dear, can you really do all those things?" And it just nodded yes in silence. So we began, and we'll never cease. And then the song I wrote, remember I told you that my first Dharma album came out in January of 2006. I wrote it in 2005, and I wrote it with a number of friends. And when I wrote the song for Determination, I wrote it with my friend Suzanne Lapidus, who now lives up in Portland. And I want to sing it for you now. Sometimes it's just faith and determination that keep me sitting in this chair. Faith, this is the path to end suffering, and determination to get there. Restlessness and longing, hurting and off track. In the middle, there's the breathing and the keeping coming back. Listening to wisdom, enduring the body's pain, careful investigation, whatever's happening. Peace is not our birthright, but it's not a siren's call. It's an unwavering dedication to the welfare of us all. Born out of want to be free, we continue. Born out of wanting to be free, we proceed. We continue diligently in the lap of daily comforts and a million things to do. Forgetfulness seems natural as we're making our way through, but our lives, they are like dewdrops resting on a blade of grass. Ask myself what's most important in this world where nothing lasts. Born out of want to be free, we continue. Born out of want to be free, we proceed. Born out of want to be free, we continue. Till I've seen all the mind can see about the cause and cure of suffering. Old habits keep arising like those grooves deep in my head, like a dusty broken record, like a new one in its stead. With patience as my guide, I can see the light of day. I'm gonna keep on keeping on, there's no turning away. Born out of want to be free, we continue. All right. So, any questions, comments? Wendy?
I have a question, but it's not about this topic. So I don't know if you'd want to entertain a
Sure.
unrelated question.
Unrelated question, sure.
Okay. Well, at work today, I practiced unwise speech in a meeting,
Yeah.
and I said something that was not wise speech, I would say,
Yeah.
and I got kind of slammed for it. So I'm feeling very bad about myself since
Yeah.
then. And yeah, I don't know. I just wondered how you work with that of like, recognize. I mean, it was a complicated situation because I felt like there was some white privilege going on and I was trying to interrupt it, but
Yeah.
I didn't interrupt it skillfully.
Yeah,
And it
yeah.
sort of kind of came back and hit me, so to speak. And so then it just felt like a mess, and like, people were mad. Some people were mad at me.
Yes.
And then I'd just been beating myself up since then.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of us can relate. Because this being human involves all kinds of stumbles and bumbles, confusions and mistakes. And so it's just part of the territory of being a human being, Wendy. So you're just simply not alone. And what's great is that we have available in this palette of practices, we have available self-compassion and self-forgiveness. And self-compassion comes first when we're hurting. If we're hurting because other people are mad, or we're hurting because we made a mistake or did something we regret, the hurting needs to be addressed. And the qualities of the three qualities to address it are mindful awareness, which you already have. So we're not minimizing or denying our pain. And we can name it, this is a moment of suffering. The Buddha said, the first noble truth, there is suffering. Here it is. Hello. So mindfulness of difficulty in the moment that it's arising, or is the first of the three qualities for self-compassion. And then the second is to remember common humanity, that imperfection is the name of the game as human beings. And the way the mind expects us to be perfect is totally fantastical, unreasonable, and in no way realistic or truthful. So common humanity, that there's like millions of other people tonight who had something happen today that they regret and that people are mad at them about. That this is part of the human experience. Really important to remind ourselves of that, because we have these brains that evolved to be in community, and we can punish ourselves. The fight, flight, and freeze turned inward looks like the beating ourselves up that you talked about. We beat ourselves up, and part of that beating up is the imagining that we're somehow uniquely flawed or made a mistake that we shouldn't have made, or that other people wouldn't have made, and none of that's true. So remember your common humanity, mindfulness, common humanity, and then the third thing to practice with self-compassion, with mindful self-compassion, is self-kindness. So interrupt the voice that's beating you up and instead bring in some kindness. So what that looks like is, and I've talked about this here before, and I'll talk about it again because it's so important, but for all mammals, safe, soothing touch conveys care, and we can offer it to ourselves. So a hand at the heart, or wherever it feels good, it can be on the arms or the cheeks. James had a practice for 2 years where he just put his hand on his cheek, James Barris. But the heart, or the solar plexus or the belly, different. Anyway, bring the hand to the body and just let the hands convey care. And then also language and tone of voice. For all mammals, it's tone of vocal quality. And for us humans, it's also language. So a really nice phrase can be, ah, may I hold myself in kindness. May I accept myself as I am. May I hold myself in kindness. And then with that reminder of holding ourselves in kindness, what would be an action that would be kind? Maybe taking a bath, having some tea, reading a book, getting snugly in the covers, taking care. So that's my response. And then there's a whole other practice would come later, which is the practice of self-forgiveness, which I won't go into now, but I'll offer a talk on it sometime soon.
Thank you. So the three points were mindfulness, self-compassion, and
mindfulness, common humanity. Remind your mind and heart and system that you're not alone. Like literally tell yourself, other people are going through this right now too. It calms the limbic system. Our ancestors, when they were, you know, alone, they didn't survive. And when the mind is telling us that we are somehow uniquely at fault, it activates that exacerbated second arrow freak out of the inner critic. So remind yourself you're not alone. Common humanity is the second step. And then the third step is self-kindness. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, take good care.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So, you know what I forgot to ask until this moment, and we've only got 3 minutes left. I'm interested to know what you want to hear about when you come and you get talks from James and me. So if there's anything that immediately pops to mind, you can send it to me in the chat, or you can email me later, or tell me next time you see me, or tell James. But I'm interested to know topics you want to hear about. Oh yeah, I see behind Anne.
Hi, thank you very much, Eve, and everybody else. This is was a beautiful, beautiful moment to share. One of the things I would like to hear about particularly is there's a common thread that runs through, I think, a lot of the people I admire in the done things like Mandela and Gandhi and Martin Luther King and people who have been sort of beacons, Buddha, obviously,
yeah,
of peace and transformation. So if there was a way to weave some of, I think Gandhi called it power of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That if any of that could be woven into this, I would like to know more about it, because I'm not a fan of social action that is diametrically opposed or, you know, polarities, but I'm a fan of truth and justice, or whatever you want to call it.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much, by the way.
Yeah. What does anybody here remember the Hindu word for truth power?
I thought it was ahimsa or something.
That's it. That's it. Thank you. You know it. Ahimsa. Beautiful. Thank you. Great request. All right. And I'm getting some in the chat. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So let's, it's 8:59, so we'll I won't sing, sometimes I sing the dedication of merit tonight, we'll just speak it to honor the time, so. May the merit of our time together, any good energy that we've generated tonight, may it be for the benefit of all beings everywhere, remembering that we too are a part of all beings. May all beings everywhere be free. All right, blessings, Happy New Year. Employ your determination.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.